Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Thursday, March 19th. 2026 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 2nd of Nisan, 5786, in the Hebrew calendar. Chodesh Tov, everyone. Happy New Hebrew Month. Stay tuned for a special report on the Ramat Gan impact that killed two people. We went to the scene today, and at the end of the show, we'll have an uplifting Torah thought to get us ready and spiritual for the weekend. Now, let's get to the news. A couple in their 70s, now being identified as Yaron and Ilana Moshe from Ramat Gan, were killed overnight Tuesday into Wednesday after Iranian cluster missiles came down on Israel, hitting a number of sites. Police said this elderly couple were headed to the shelter, but that the missile struck when they were still just meters away from it. They were found with a walker alongside them. Now, when these fragments and missiles are coming down, they come down quickly. For a full 8 hours from 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. Wednesday, there were four rounds of missile fire that caused injuries and damage to property in Israel's center. Paramedics also treated two other people who were lightly wounded by shrapnel, while others were injured as they were running to the shelter or they were treated for anxiety. Tel Aviv's Savidor railway station was damaged, and it had damage to platforms that was caused by shrapnel, temporarily halting train services. Word on the street is they're back up and running just a day later. Iran acknowledged launching cluster missiles at Israel, which are warheads that split into tiny bomblets that scatter in an area. They are known to spread maximum damage and also evade the country's air defense. The IRGC described this latest attack as revenge for Israel's elimination of top security official Ali Larijani. Larijani was the speaker of Iran's parliament from 2008 to 2020 and has been a top-ranking official who worked closely with Iran's supreme leader, who was killed on the very first day of this current war with Iran. And so this man was killed just recently, and Iran says that they responded with the recent fire as revenge for that. Today, the Israel Daily News team went over to Ramat Gan, which is where the two elderly people were killed. Ramat Gan is a suburb of Tel Aviv. I'll explain what I saw. The apartment building was only damaged at the top. The rest of the building seemed to be intact, with the ground floor being almost entirely intact. This was pretty shocking to me because in June 2025, my apartment building was impacted by a missile that hit just meters outside my home, and it blew up the whole area, and the area has still not been fixed up. Let me explain what I came to see and understand in very simple terms. The new cluster missiles that Iran is sending over to Israel are missiles that break off into bomblets, smaller bombs. The idea is to create more destruction. So whereas my previous apartment building got impacted by the force of one full missile, this couple was killed by a bomblet that was smaller, but directly impacted their specific home, which was on the top floor. Israel reports that half of all the Iranian missiles launched toward Israel have been cluster munitions. The cars outside on the road in front were also impacted and are not drivable, but the rest of the block looked okay. Cluster munitions are widely outlawed across the globe, but some of the world's most powerful militaries, like the US, Israel, Iran, Russia, and China, are not bound by that specific ban because they didn't sign on to the agreement. I spoke with the owner of the real estate company on the ground floor of the building that got hit. His name is Daniel. Let's hear what he had to say about the situation. I found him to be insightful.
I'm the owner of this real estate agency. I heard that this is the area of the damage, so I taken inside the camera, security camera. And then I see this huge mess here. Unfortunately, we saw two people that murdered by this missile here. Building here in Israel, they very strong. We build them. The thought that there is a war, always a war. It's a miracle. Nothing get broke, nothing get damaged here. It's unbelievable. I think we are a strong nation, strong people. We don't afraid from no one. We say that this time we need to go until the end to cut the snakehead, like we call him in Iran, this Ayatollah regime.
We also caught a private appraiser coming out of the building. It was very interesting to talk to him because I'm actually working on a Jerusalem Post investigation about how people are dealing with the government to get compensation for their homes and their personal belongings. This is a really big investigation because there are so many people that have been impacted. Each has a different story. And of course, the challenges of working with the authorities to get those compensation packages cleared and into people's bank accounts is not easy. So he explained to us that getting these claims taken care of can be confusing and daunting, especially when people are rising up from the ashes. And his work is to streamline the process for people who have been affected. Now, he works privately, and he doesn't represent the government. Let's hear what he had to say about his work at this time and since October 7th.
I'm an appraiser, a young appraiser. I help them from the start until the end. I took them hand by hand, helped them to get the money, to get the apartment, like the new minimal moments, like the clothes to a wash machine, everything from the starts until the end, because the people after that thing, like the rocket hit your home, it's very difficult.
Since the conflict broke out on February 28th, some 4,000 people have been admitted to the hospitals. Just as I'm writing this, I got word that another two people have been injured in the north of Israel in Kiryat Shmona due to Hezbollah fire. The situation is ongoing, and we here in central Israel have been entering the shelter multiple times per day and multiple times per night for 3 weeks at this point. The Israel Daily News team sends our heartfelt condolences to the families, friends, and community of Yaron and Ilana Moshe, who lost their lives in such a shocking and disturbing way. Four Palestinian women were killed in a hair salon in a Palestinian town near Hebron, or Hebron in English, from a direct Iranian cluster missile impact. They are the first Palestinian casualties of this war. Five people were also injured, one of them critically. In the West Bank village of Beit Awa, or you could call it Judea and Samaria, although this is a Palestinian village, so I'm going to go with West Bank, 50-year-old Sahira Masalma, 36-year-old Amal Masalma, 17-year-old Mais Masalma, and 32-year-old Asil Masalma, who was 6 months pregnant, were all killed while inside a bridal salon preparing food for a Ramadan evening meal. The strikes came as sirens sounded repeatedly across Israel overnight, with central and northern areas taking heavy fire. A 30-year-old foreign worker in Moshav Adanim in central Israel was also killed. This was on Wednesday night. He was struck by shrapnel during the barrage. Since the war began on February 28th, some 17 people, according to my estimations, have been killed in Israel as a result of Iranian attacks, with the toll continuing to rise. Some people say that there have been 20. I've recorded 17 deaths since February 28th. Israel is intensifying its offensive against Iran, expanding strikes to include naval assets in the north, while coordinating with the United States, which is preparing a significantly larger round of attacks after already hitting thousands of military targets. Iran continues to fire multiple waves of missiles toward Israel, triggering widespread sirens and forcing civilians into shelters, though the latest barrages have not caused direct casualties, but we're only talking about the last 24 hours. Meanwhile, the conflict is widening beyond Israel and Iran, with Iranian strikes on major Gulf energy infrastructure, pushing oil and gas prices higher and drawing deeper regional involvement. And of course, with the headline going around the globe that Israel hit an oil field in Iran without the permission slash go-ahead of the United States. Well, Pete Hegseth is calling on the IDF to listen to their warning. So we'll find out if Israel does that. I'll tell you that I've been following the Israel-U.S. relationship for years and decades, and this often happens that Israel has a chance to strike and the United States says no and Israel does it anyway. So we'll see if Pete Hegseth's request for Israel to not do that again will come true. Also, just seeing right now that Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has made a press conference in which he's told everyone that Iran can no longer create a nuclear bomb because they can no longer enrich uranium. Let's just take a look at that. Netanyahu says Iran can no longer enrich uranium or manufacture ballistic missiles. Well, that's what he just told out loud in his press conference, and we'll see if that is the case. We'll know, I suppose we'll know once all those ballistic missiles that Iran has already made have been finished out, have been finished being sent over in this direction. Before we finish today's show, I want to leave us off with some exciting Israel Daily News updates. Our channels and followings are growing rapidly and increasing every day overnight. Our TikTok page has hit 8,000 followers. Israel Daily News Instagram page, 59,000. That's up from 58,000 just yesterday. My personal Instagram is just about 10,000 followers, which is something I've been working on. And our YouTube page has doubled. It has 650 followers, which for YouTube is actually a big deal to achieve. Follow us on social media at israeldaily.news. We upload all the latest footage from Israel and clips from our shows. You can also follow my personal page at Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. And now for a Torah thought, a much-needed Torah thought from our spiritual guide, Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York.
This week we start a new book of the Torah, the Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, and it begins by giving all sorts of sacrifices, talking about all sorts of sacrifices that are supposed to be brought by the Levites and by all these people that you're supposed to do. And in the Haftorah, the prophet Isaiah reprimands the Jewish people for not bringing the appropriate sacrifices and for worshiping idols. And, you know, he says how it's so silly. You know, you take a piece of wood and half the wood you'll use to put in your stove and cook your food. The other half, you make an idol out of it. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I think to a certain extent, we do that with our lives. You know, we in a certain sense, especially when it comes to money, people sort of worship money in a certain sense. It's always about how you're going to make sure, even if times are tough, right? You're trying to make sure that you can make ends meet, and it's important and it has to be done. But sometimes we can do it at the expense of God, right? Oh, I have to make more money, so how could I possibly take off Shabbat or the holidays? Oh, I have to make more money, so maybe I should do this thing that's not so appropriate. And because it'll make me more money. And then we take some of that money, just like the wood. You take some of it, you cook your food, and take some of it, you make an idol, right? You take some of the money, and you do things with it, even good things that are necessary. Maybe even give tzedakah with your money. But then you take the rest of your money, and it's like it becomes this idol you lift up. You have to make more and do more. And this can apply to many other things, not just money. I'm just using that as an example. But also, recording this on a Thursday, we start saying what's called the Nasi. We read the portion in the Bible that talks about the gifts that were brought by the Nasim, by the princes of the tribes, and each one gave their own thing in order to help with the temple, certain wagons and all these things that they give in order to transport the temple. And in the Mishkan in the desert. And why do they all give the same thing? Is they give the same thing, but it records each one individually. Why not just say they each gave such and such? Because even if you're doing something, and sometimes you might feel like this, sometimes you get in a rut and you feel like, you know, what am I doing that's special? What am I doing that makes me stand out? I feel like I'm just doing the same thing all the time and the same as everybody else, and maybe I'm not so special. But the truth is, even if you are doing the exact same as the other, as everybody else, your contribution is infinitely valuable. Just like with the princes giving the same thing, each one of them, all 12 of them, are giving the exact same gift to the Mishkan that's needed for the temple service and for the construction and for the transportation of the Mishkan. Nevertheless, each one of them is giving something important. Why? Not just because of the physical action that they're doing, but because of the emotional and spiritual contribution that they're making. Everybody, you know, like we all say, we all bleed the same, we all look the same on the inside, everyone looks the same. Okay, and so therefore, you know, you shouldn't be prejudiced or racist or this, that, or the other thing, right? Okay, that's true. But nevertheless, even though we're quote-unquote all the same and everyone's human, there's only one race, the human race, that's true. But at the same time, every single one of us has a unique spiritual, mental, psychological contribution that we are able to bring to the table. And even if on a superficial level, we might seem similar or the same, the truth is that ultimately we are each unique, and God made each one of you in order to perform a specific function in the world. And the fact that you exist is God's haskama. Now I'm blanking on how to say haskama in English, right? But he's his stamp of approval to say that you are infinitely valuable and have a unique contribution to make to the world. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made you. So take that beautiful spiritual contribution that you make to the world and let it shine. And even if it's expressed in the mundane, normal things that you do every day that might seem the same every day or might seem the same as everybody else, you do it the best that you can and let that spiritual influence shine in the world until ultimately, with all of us doing that, it'll make this ripple effect and it'll culminate in the coming of Mashiach. May we see him speedily in our days and all join together in Jerusalem for the holiday of Passover. Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Thursday, March 19th, 2025. Tel Aviv has a low of 16 degrees Celsius and a high of 19 degrees. That's 60 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 68 degrees for the high. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top 5 stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, with a personal note from me at the top, you can sign up for that at IsraelDailyNews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in on the bottom right. Have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Everyone, get as much rest, as much food, as much nourishment for your soul and your body as you can. I've been doing a great job at exercising daily as a means to combat the terror that we're living through. And I encourage all of you to do the same, because the body really needs to get a lot of this stuff out. So make sure you move it. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.